The two-day meeting of the G20 finance ministers and central bank governors has ended in Sydney with a commitment to lift global growth by 2 percentage points over the next 5 years, over and above what would have been the growth. The deal, brokered by the Federal Treasurer Joe Hockey, would add more than $2 trillion to the global economy and lead to significant job creation, although the targets aren't binding on the G20 countries. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, joins us with a preview of the week ahead. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, James.
So this is the first time the G20 has set a global growth target. How achievable is it?
Well, the G20 itself says it's an ambitious target, but that it's realistic. 2 percentage points of GDP growth over 5 years equates to 0.4% per year. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but most nations, even the usually high growth ones, have been struggling to achieve anything close to that in recent years. Yet the fact that the G20 has decided to set this target suggests that they're optimistic that global growth is now about to pick up, led by the US. Indeed, the IMF is forecasting global growth to rise from 3 to 3.75% this year.
And you reckon that's likely? I mean, is the target that the G20 nations are setting likely to be met?
Good question, James. Germany has been a critic of setting a specific growth target for the entire G20, arguing that it smacks of central planning, but they clearly were overruled over the weekend.
It's not a five-year plan, is it?
It is a five-year plan. Well, is 2 percentage points over 5 years.
Well, there's an irony.
For emerging economies, you could argue, too, that it's a bit of an irrelevance. China, for example, has been trying to slow down its growth rate in recent times, because it wants to rein in bad lending and investment and cool its overheated property market. So increased growth won't be coming from them. And other emerging economies like India and Indonesia are also focused on other issues right now, like how to deal with capital flight caused by the US Federal Reserve winding back its easy money program. They've actually had to raise interest rates recently to support their currencies, which have plummeted due to money returning to the US. And that in turn risks slowing growth further. And then there's the rich world. In reality, they can't do much in the short term to boost growth either, except hope that their central banks keep interest rates low, and in the case of Japan and Europe, keep printing that money. They can't even embark on fiscal spending to boost growth because their budgets are in such woeful state. They can only do what Joe Hockey has been urging of late, and that's embark on a program of structural reform to their economies. But those reforms can take years to bear fruit, as we saw with the Hawke-Keating reforms of the 1980s. This time, major reform here may not begin until after the next election in 2 years' time, because the coalition has promised to be a government of no surprises. So this growth target may turn out to be an aspirational one. Certainly, there are no penalties, as you say, if it's not met. But it's certainly a feather in Joe Hockey's cap because, he's managed to wrangle a target that he's even managed to wrangle a target from such a disparate group as the G20.
And did the finance ministers explain how they would achieve the growth?
No. G20 countries, including Australia, have, though, been asked to map out how they intend to grow their economies, and they'll bring this strategy, this growth strategy, to the Leaders' Summit in Brisbane in November. As I said, we already have an idea of what Australia's plan is. Joe Hockey has mentioned he wants to undertake some significant reforms in the economy, maybe even lifting the pension age to 70, privatising government assets, increasing labour market flexibility. And these approaches were endorsed on the sidelines by fellow travellers like the Conservative UK Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, and the OECD. But, despite the rhetoric and even the spin on the front pages of the newspapers today, James, the G20 communique didn't actually mention the word structural reform. It just referred to the need for the G20 to take concrete actions to lift investment and trade and employment. Because the fact is, each country will take a very different path to achieving growth. They may raise taxes even rather than privatising assets or getting the private sector into building infrastructure, which is what Joe Hockey wants. Indeed, it's going to be interesting to see what growth plan Australia actually takes to the G20 summit in November, given that the coalition has pledged to cut government spending and bring the budget back under control in the May budget. Economists are already worried that an austere budget could undermine growth rather than enhance it if the government cuts too deep. So it's going to be an interesting balancing act for Australia as president of the G20 in its Go for Growth year.
Mm. Speaking of cutbacks, should we expect or brace, as they would say, for a more bad news from Qantas this week? Put our heads between our legs?
Yes, or under a blanket. Yes, look, there were a flurry of stories on Friday that Qantas is about to announce some deep job cuts on top of the 1,000 already announced, and that'll do it when it unveils its half-year results on Thursday. Now, these are the results that Qantas has already flagged will be ugly, likely to report a pre-tax loss of somewhere between $250 and $300 million. Some reports suggest 3,000 jobs could go out of its workforce of 33,000. Now, a Qantas spokesman I spoke to yesterday wouldn't confirm or deny the reports, except to say it's still committed to taking $2 billion in costs out of the business over the next 3 years. So I think we can expect some sort of further downsizing announcement on Thursday, although Qantas says, you know, reports that they might cut some important routes are wrong. But clearly Qantas is preparing to present a picture of an airline under considerable competitive pressure, but one which is prepared to make the hard decisions because it wants to convince the government, who, you know, elements of which remain reluctant to giving Qantas aid because of their hard line on assistance for other struggling businesses. Qantas is seeking not a cash handout, but a government debt guarantee. But Virgin has already said if Qantas gets that help, it will be seeking the same. So a difficult period ahead.
Looking to the share market, well, let's see, on the weekend, the world economy's promised 2% growth. The share market must go gangbusters today, unless they believe perhaps they're lying. Such a strong word, lie.
Yeah, it is such a strong word. I suspect, though, they won't be focused too much on the G20 communique this morning. They'll be looking instead at the more important or all-important business investment survey out on Thursday for real signs of optimism about the economic outlook here. If it's good news, it may push the dollar back above 90 US cents. At the moment, James, it's buying 89.6 US cents. Meanwhile, the share market is set to open flat this morning, so not a lot of excitement about the G20 perhaps, and that was because Wall Street closed slightly down on Friday night. The ASX 200 index had, though, another good week last week on the back of some solid corporate profit results. It closed 1.5% higher to end the week at 5,438 points, and that means it's now rallied 4.8% this month, so maybe a turnaround in the market.
Thank you very much, Business Editor Cheryl Bagwell, and you'll be back later here to speak with Tim Harcourt, the economist, on the G20.
About the G20, yes.
Good stuff. Looking forward.